Well, I've been very excited about being here tonight and the opportunities that I've had to preach. It's kind of interesting. I was joking around with Brandy because I've been preaching most of the year. I know we just got started and everything, but it's just the way it's worked out. The days that I've not been at work, I've been able to go preach most every day this year. And that's a blessing. We've been praying for that, always praying for open doors and praying for the Lord's will. And for those that don't remember me, I'm Brother Jason Cornett. I'm a missionary out of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I was just thinking about that a while ago because, I felt like it was time to kind of report in, you know. I mean, we've still been doing things and going and meeting people. And Sandy Flat, it's been a really good opportunity there. Brother Charlie Craig, I don't know if any of you know him, but he used to work at ASU, and he and I worked in vending together, so I kind of knew him, and he said he talked to Brother Sanford Cable and got my number and all that kind of stuff and just kind of filling in and trying to help out with him, and I just told him I'd try to help out how I could, and the Lord is really blessed there. And I've been real excited tonight, and, you know, what I have tonight kind of goes somewhat along with some of the things that Preacher Wins I've been teaching on and preaching on, and it's something that's been on my heart. I have kind of preached along these lines. I guess it was somewhere around last July over at Willowdale. And it's a good study. It's interesting how these things kind of line up and correspond. And maybe it's nothing new tonight, maybe something that you haven't heard, but maybe a little bit different angle, a little bit different view. That's the one neat thing I've seen, or some of the things in the Bible, how the Lord uses different authors to bring out the human side of things. You know, he used people in the Bible. It wasn't just Jesus. He used people so we could see what we could do, what we could achieve through our surrender to him if we would be willing to do that. But Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1, I'll go ahead and start off by reading this here. And this is very familiar here. We've all heard this many times here in this church. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Tonight I want to just simply preach on this thought, strength and conditioning. Strength and conditioning. I'm so amazed at how our physical life and our spiritual life parallel each other in this aspect, with this topic. It's just amazing to me. There's three things. I'll go ahead and give you my points. The first one is run. The second one's going to be walk. And finally, the last one's going to be stand. So I'm just going to be going through a few different verses. Not a whole lot of reading tonight, just a few different verses. But this first verse here, it talks about run. Run means to move or pass on the feet with celerity or rapidity, by leaps or long, quick steps. We all know what running is. You see people run, and this here that's talking about running a race with patience. Paul uses this analogy, uses different analogies of physical exercise and things when he talks in the Bible, but his first thing here is run. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not a good runner. That's something I tried to do a few years ago, and I was able to do fairly well on a treadmill. I got on a treadmill, and you can set the different speeds. You can even set the different shock absorbers on it so it's easier on your joints. And I got to the point that I could do pretty good on that treadmill. And I worked out and built up to a pace there. And me and Sister Amber, we'd signed up for a 4 or a 5K, I think they call it. You know, that's like 3.2 miles. And I thought, wow, I've trained for months. I'm ready for this. I can do this. I'm confident in my ability. Let's do this. Well, I got about halfway through it, and I was wore out. Running on a treadmill is not like running on pavement. You know, you're actually pushing yourself and you're all the shocks and the different things. Your body feels it completely different on pavement, on ground, versus what it does on a treadmill. But it's just completely different. But Paul's talking about running with patience. Patience, that's a hard thing that I've found when you start talking about things with in the gym. You know, because you see different people around the gym. We're talking about this here. It goes back, obviously, in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. It talks about the different people that we were surrounded with, the witnesses that they have. Well, we today are also surrounded with witnesses, each of you in the church. We each look at each other. We each grow and build and learn from each other. We motivate each other. So tonight I can say that I am also surrounded with a great cloud of witness here tonight. But that's what he's talking about. And we see these examples. And when you're in the gym, I see a lot of examples there too. I've seen a lot of people. I see some people, I mean strong people. People are like, man, I wish I could do what they are doing. They're just so strong and I want it right now. You know, I want to do that and I want it right now. I don't have to wait 5, 10, 15 years to get what they've got. I want it right now. You see people that just all kinds of different people and it motivates you. You know, and I was looking at that and I was thinking about just some personal experiences that I've had just even recently. One of the things that's really important in our life and in the gym and in our life as well is having a good spotter. A good spotter is very important. A spotter is one that assists someone lifting a weight for safety. We all know what that is. When you're trying to work out and do things, you need somebody to kind of help you out. You know, and when I looked at that and kind of thought about it, it's like, that's really good. And I can see a lot of different analogies and a lot of different parallels in that. You know, when I go to lift, it's kind of interesting because the places we go a lot of times, or like the Quinn, a lot of times they'll have like a girl there, like and a small girl. And I'm not picking on anybody, but when you get there, you're just like, man, I want to lift heavy today, but that's my spotter. You know, so we kind of, it's really interesting because you kind of see people looking around. And a lot of people, they wear their earphones now. And you can see some of the guys kind of looking around. You know, they've got their weight and they're kind of, you know, they're getting ready. They're kind of getting pumped up and they're looking around. It's like they look over at the counter. They're just kind of like, well, I don't know. And they'll look around and they'll say, hey, can I ask you a question? Can you spot me? Can you help me? That has been one of the most humbling questions I've ever been asked. And I'll tell you why, because for a person to come to you and ask that, that means they're automatically placing confidence in you for some reason. You know, and I say all that to say this. That's who I pick out. I try to pick out the biggest guy in the gym. I'll be honest with you. But I say that to say this. When somebody asks you to pray for them, let's take that very seriously. And I believe we do. But take that very seriously because they wouldn't be asking you that question if they didn't think that you would actually not follow through with it. They're asking you that question because they think that you can get through to God, that you have something that they need, that you can help them fulfill a goal. And I was just really thinking about that, and that's very important. Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Spotter is very important. It's so important that we help bear each other's burdens. You know, one of the things I was thinking about also in looking at this is important. And this is another reason why a spotter is so important. We must be pushed beyond what we can do to know what we can achieve. Think about that physically and then think about that spiritually. We must be pushed beyond what we can do to know what we can achieve. It's not always, and when I first started, I knew that I wasn't going to try to lift heavy. I'll tell you what happened was last April when I got hired back on at ASU, started back in law enforcement, I wanted to get in shape. I knew it was important because I knew that there's things that I would potentially be facing and I needed to be able to handle myself and potentially somebody else. You know, on campus you have all kinds of different people. You have athletes, big guys, you have football players, different people that you deal with, people a lot bigger than me. And, you know, when you look around, I look at my squad that I work with, I'm the biggest guy on the squad. So if it was to really start going down, I mean, who are they going to call for? Not that I'm anybody, but I'm bigger than they are. So that's just how it works. So back last April, I tried to start committing to working out, to strength and conditioning, something I needed to do. Back a few years ago, before I left the sheriff's department, I'd started doing that. And then after leaving the sheriff's department, my schedule got all mixed up and I've kind of fallen out of it. So now this was my opportunity to start getting back into this. And I see the importance of how this is. But for the most part, I just kind of went in, started out light and easy, nothing too heavy, things I knew that I could do. And for so long, that's what I did. I thought, I'm not going to try to get big. I'm not going to try to do these things. I just want to just do a little bit and kind of move on. Well, the way our bodies are designed, if you do the same thing over and over and over, it gets used to it. Think about your spiritual life now. Don't just get lopsided. Think about our spiritual life. You get used to doing the same way, your body responds to it, and then it just doesn't start really doing anything. It kind of just stays where it's at. And as time went on, my body said, well, maybe you can do a little bit more. Maybe you can try a little bit more, and you start trying to do a little bit more. Well, for the first few months, I never used a spotter because I didn't need one. So as time went on, and I remember one morning I was there in the gym doing a weight that I'd normally done. We just lifting it. And man, I felt good. And I can usually get about 10 times, but I felt extra good that morning. I felt so good. I kept on a little bit more, and I thought, man, I think I can get 15. I was 12, 13, 14, and I got on up, and I was like, fit. And I was stuck. I was stuck. I was embarrassed because I didn't have nobody ready to help me out. So I had to kind of throw it behind me, and somebody come running, you know. I was half embarrassed and half excited. But there's one of the things here, you got to understand, your ego and your pride cannot get involved, cannot overloom your spiritual life. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I know most people will and most people do. But the thing about it is, our life, it's so important for us to have a spotter. The other day, and there again, just keep this in mind, we must be pushed beyond what we can do to know what we can achieve. You have to get to the point of failure to realize where your maximum peak is. Me and Brother Bradley Swift, he's kind of, you know, trying to do some things as well. And he wanted to go together and lift and kind of see where we were at. And what a blessing that was. That was just good fellowship. It was so good. We've got the same goals in mind, and somebody I trust, somebody I know that will help me, will encourage me. He's a good spotter. And so that's what we did. We started lifting. We got to the place, and he pushed me further than I thought I could go. I'll be honest. I was like, in my mind, I was saying, I can't do that. He's like, no, I think you can. And we went to the point that I couldn't, and he lifted it off. When I keep thinking about this, we get so used to the same things. We get so used to our daily lives. And this analogy came to my mind. We're so used to what we're used to doing. You know, you come up and you go, house payment, got it. Car payment, got it. Power bill, got it. You got all these things, you're so used to it. My transmission went out. Don't got it. What do? You need a spotter. You need somebody to spot you in your spiritual life, your physical life. And I was just thinking about this and how important this was to me. For most of my life, I had it. I was used to how things were. Like I was giving my testimony to him a little bit this morning, and I remember when I left the sheriff's office, I was like, don't got it. I don't have it. I reached a place in my life of failure. And what I mean by that, I couldn't do anymore. I was done. There was no more. There's nothing left in me. And it had to be lifted off. There's only one place I could go for that. And it's just amazing to see. This is real, by the way, tonight. This works. This is true. This works. I've seen it work. If you're afraid to commit to it, this isn't an infomercial trying to sell you some kind of CD. This is for real tonight. And if you don't believe me, try it. It's amazing what the Lord can do with you if you will give your life to Him. You know, I was looking at this running. There's a lot of motivated people. There's some very motivated people in the gym that you see in different places. Running versus sprinting. That's two completely different things. I'm not a good runner, and I'm definitely not a good sprinter. And when I was looking at this, I was thinking about how some people get so motivated and so fired up, and they come in just, it's like they burn out and they're gone. Just come in and gone. This life, this race that we're talking about is to be run with patience. I'm not competing against anybody here tonight. I'm running with you. I want to see you succeed. And I need your help in succeeding myself. We're in this together. This is like a marathon where I go to my limits and then I pass the baton to you and ask for your help. And then you take the next leg of the race and we continually do this together. That's how this works out. You know, so many see the end result, but don't realize what it takes to get there. I've seen some people, and I've talked to some different people in the gym, and it's amazing how you meet somebody. I was working out, and this one fella come in, he started posing, doing all this stuff, and I was like, man, this guy's, he's for real. You know, and then there's this other fella come in, he had on like this red outfit, tank top, Converse shoes, red shorts, red headband. I had my earphones in, and I could hear him yelling. Well, he's tearing it up, and I was like, who is this guy? Why is he being so loud? You know, and it reminded me, think about church. You know, think about your spiritual life. I remember the first time I heard somebody yell in church, and it scared me to death until I understood what he was being excited about. But these people, when I actually took the time to talk to them, a couple of the nicest people that I ever met, and some of them kind of get to work out together some and just kind of talk, and if you need a spot, but one of them, we're talking about nutrition. It is amazing what people will dedicate themselves to do to change like their look, to change their body, to change. It's amazing the lengths that they will go for that and what they will commit and do. Things, I was talking to one of the guys, you know, they'll eat 6, 7, 8 times a day. Some of these people wake up in the middle of the night to get up and eat a meal. And I'm not talking about bad stuff, good stuff. But they'll get up to do that. And you think about our spiritual life. Do we take it that far? Would we pray that many times if we felt it was necessary? Would we do something that many times if we thought it would actually accomplish what we needed to accomplish? These things here, until you do it, you will never know how far you can take it. It's just all hypothetical until you physically apply it to your life. Talking about running. And it's easy to run on flat ground, and it's easy to run downhill. But we all know in life, you know, there's a lot of times that we start running uphill, and that's something I definitely tell you I can't do. Colossians 2:6, one of my very favorite verses in the Bible, says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk. Walk is the act of moving on the feet with a slow pace. Now, that's something I can do a lot better than run. That's one of the things that me and Brandy, we get together, we try to do as we can, and just get together and walk. I love to walk. You know, it's a good time to have, and I can walk so much further than I can run. And I want to urge you tonight in your life, in your spiritual life, your physical life, to keep moving. To keep moving. If you get to a place that you can't run any longer, keep walking. Keep moving. I notice there's times I've learned to kind of let my body tell me kind of what to do when I get to the gym. Sometimes I want to do more. My mind says, go, go, go. And my body says, what are you doing? This is not going to work. You know, shoulders, your knees. I've had back surgery before, and there's just some things I can't do. That's just how it is. But, you know, if you're not careful, you'd use things like that as an excuse. I'm a member of the church. I'm not the pastor. I'm the superintendent. I'm not the choir director. It's not my job. It's easy to make up excuses for things. But how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to accomplish your goals? What motivates you tonight? What motivates you? What drives you to do the things that you do? If you can figure out, and I've learned this with interviewing people, if you can find out what motivates them, you can find out a whole lot about that person, how to deal with them, how to talk to them, to understand better why they do what they do. You can tell a whole lot by a person if you can find out what motivates them. And I want to ask you tonight, what motivates you? Well, what's your goals? What's some things that you would like to accomplish, not just this year, but in your life? What's things that you would like to see happen at home, at church, physically, financially? I want you to think about some of those things, not to use excuses. We all have strong days. We all have weak days. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able. but will have the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I've heard that verse read many times, a whole lot of times. But today, when I was this morning, when I was looking over it, studied it, every time you and I give in to a temptation, we fail ourselves. It's not God failing us. It's not us or Him not giving us the power. We fail Him. He's already promised in His Word that He made a way for us to escape every temptation. And the Bible says we all are tempted. And He knows what it's like. He was faced with those temptations. So it's nothing that hasn't touched His infirmity. He knows as well. But that really spoke to me this morning, because that tells me if I'd have held out just a little bit more, just a little bit more on the times that I've given in and didn't try as hard as I should have, there would have been a way out. I could have made it. And that could have been a goal for the Lord. You see, people, that's what people want to see in Christians. If you ever give yourself away by the way you live, or by testimony, or by talking to somebody and telling them you're a Christian, they're going to watch you. They're going to start kind of picking up on things and see if you slip and fall, or they're going to start asking, well, how do you feel about this, or how do you feel about that? They're going to start asking these questions. But see, that's how the Spirit of God is shown real to people, is when they see it in you and I. When they see those goals, when they see, wow, I don't agree with what he's saying, but man, he sure is faithful to it. He won't do that. He won't go out and drink. He won't even have a social drink with me. I've asked him many times. He won't even do that. Well, I respect that. I see his dedication. That's how the Spirit of God is shown real in this world. He uses people just like you're talking about in the Bible. In chapter 11, he's using us today like he used those people. And here's a fun one. This is always the big part, and I think Preacher Wynn is doing a much deeper study on this, but diet. Diet is huge. I when I was younger and lifting, lifted with one of my buddies, and he took supplements, and he ate a lot. I mean, he took it serious. I was in my early 20s. But that fella, he kept getting stronger, and he kept getting bigger. And I kind of plateaued and kind of stayed the same. And I didn't take it as serious then maybe as I do now, but I was like, why? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? You know, because in my mind, a diet is you quit eating. You just quit eating. You don't lose weight, you quit eating. You know, that was my mind frame then. But I found after, studying things and stuff, it's what you eat and eating the right amounts of the good stuff. But he went on, and he's a big fella today. But diet, I thought you just went to the gym and started working out and you just started moving and things started happening. That's part of it, but man, that's a real, real, real small part of it. Much smaller than I ever gave credit for. And I have a book at the house that I was reading, and I want to just read a quote from this book. It really just spoke to my heart. And this is the quote. It says, "They say that 80% of weight loss success comes from nutrition. In bodybuilding, nutrition is closer to 90% of the game of sculpting the best body possible. Most weight loss attempts fail. In bodybuilding, you cannot fail your diet and expect to achieve your goal. The food you consume impacts how your body responds to training. The proper nutritional plan is what will separate you from those who move through the process with no structure. Imagine what your physique would look like if you were to commit to a strict diet for a minimum of 12 weeks or even a maximum of 24 weeks. Your physique would reach a level you've never seen before. Guaranteed. That's what this book will help you do." And I thought, boy, I have bought the book. This is the best book. How could I ever do anything in the gym before I ever bought this book? And it's a big, thick book. It tells you what to eat. It tells you how to do your calories. It tells you everything that I've this far have learned. Shows you how to do the exercises and everything. And I was like, wow, boy, I have finally found it. I mean, this is it. Even it was on sale I even got it on sale. This is the book. You know, and I got all excited, and then the Lord spoke to me. He said, huh, imagine if you did the same thing right here. Imagine if you did the same thing right here. Imagine all the different things I've told you to do in this book. That's what this book will help you do. You know, a lot of times I've seen people, and it's sad. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll come back to that part later. But you see here, when I was thinking about this diet, I've got a little app on my phone. This is something. If you ever counted calories, I don't know how you would actually really write it down. It'd take a lot to write it down if you're going to write out everything on a notebook. But they have this app called MyFitnessPal, and it's a fun app. It's great. You can scan food. It keeps a database. It tells you the calories. It tells you the amount of the good stuff, the bad stuff. It keeps it all calculated for you. It's all right there on one page. You eat it, boom. You log it. You know exactly where you're at. If you eat too much for breakfast, you know how to slack it off. I mean, everything. It's amazing. Well, you know, I use that thing, and I remember there's a few times that I thought, well, I'll sneak a little bite of this. Boy, that Reese's peanut butter cup looks so good. I thought, I don't really have to scan it. I don't have to scan it. You know, I can kind of just, I work that a little bit harder, and that's really not that much. So I'll just go with what I've put on there, and I'll feel better because I can kind of, you know, this is what I've logged, and I'll feel better anyway. Well, it's funny. There's a thing when you try to lose weight. It's called a plateau. And that's where you go to a point, and then you don't go down anymore. You stop. And I talked to Brandy about it. I talked to some of my friends about it. I was like, I just don't understand it. The weight ain't coming off like it was at the beginning. What's going on here? What's the problem? You know, and people say, oh, you're just gaining muscle. Well, that's great and all, but I want to be smaller here. This is my trouble. I want it gone, you know. And I got to thinking about it. I was like, you know, all these times I've been cheating and I've not really been logging some of these things. Maybe there's more to that than what I think, because that's the only thing I'm not accounting for. So I started scanning those, and you'd be amazed, and you probably already know, but you'd be amazed what a little half of a Reese's cup, the calories would be in one of those things. That can make the difference in success and failure. I mean, that's what it's talking about here. And you cheat this over an amount of time, you're not going to get where you want to go. I say that to say this, sin in our life, it's no different. It's absolutely the same. The things we think are little, the things we think, well, I really don't have to pray about that right now. It's not that big of a deal. You know, everybody kind of cheats every now and then. Nobody's perfect. You know, I don't really have to focus on that. That will break your fellowship with the Lord. That will break your fellowship with your number one spotter, your number one help. And that is so true. I mean, if we are going to be successful, have to be honest with ourselves, we're going to have to be honest with the Lord. We're just going to have to give it to them. We can't do things halfway. You have to commit the whole way, or you're not going to see the results you want to see. That's just how it is. And when you see all these things, don't be disappointed, because look back and say, well, I didn't do what I knew I should have done. That's how it works out. That's just where it is. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, and I'm just about to finish up through here. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, that means to be on the feet, not to sit, kneel, or lie, to be in a state of fixedness, hence to continue to endure. And when I think about this verse here, when I think about how this runs down, you know, this is being prepared for something. The other morning, I think I was getting on Brandy's nerves. I was just so motivated that other morning. I was just so excited about life in general. things going on in our community. It's not just church. It's not just work. It's the community that we live in. I was thinking about this and thinking about spotters. Every one of us in here should be the best spotter in this community. If anybody outside of the church needed some help, they should come to us. They should have enough confidence in us that, hey, they're doing something right. They're standing for something right. I was thinking about our young people. It's the same difference in school. I was thinking about new officers when they come in, and I use this for the young people. You're kind of grading people on their potential sometimes when they come new in the door. Their drive, their anticipation, because they've not really done anything yet. You haven't seen what they can do. They really haven't proven themselves. And it's a lot the same with our young people. They're just getting started. Well, our young people should be the best spotters in our community as well. And the reason I say that is look at the training. Look at what we go through week in and week out. There's a few churches and a few places that do this throughout the county, but you think about the ones that don't. Think about the potential that you have as a young person coming out of this church. What you know, what you've learned. It's unbelievable. Don't take that for granted. In the workplace, you should be the number one hire. They should depend on you and trust you more than anybody else. Because they should see something in you. They should see that drive in you. I'm just reminded here also why people work out. Some want to and some have to. It's always fun to see people preparing or training for an event. That's something I love to see. There's some of these people who have a push-pull contest thing on campus, and it's kind of neat because you see some of these students that, to see them, they may not look like they're very strong or they may not weigh much, but you're talking about people that lifting twice their weight. It's amazing. But they train so intensely for that. They're preparing for something. And again, young people, I want you to think about what you are preparing for in life. We don't know exactly what's going to happen before the Lord comes back. We don't know exactly how we're going to have to live. And what I mean by that, physically. We might have to go hunt for our food. I mean, these different things. I mean, think about what if today the grocery stores were no longer there. What are you going to do? I mean, we've heard the term survival of the fittest. Well, it could come to that. And one day there's no telling exactly how it's going to be before the Lord returns. And I see people. I had the opportunity to work out some in the wellness center the past couple of weeks while the school was closed, and they're tied in with the hospital. And there's a lot of people that's in there because they have to be in there. They're rehabilitating from things, car accidents, different things. They're trying to rebuild. You see some people that's in their peak or their prime, and they're trying to surpass anything that they ever thought they could do. And you see some people that would just like to get back maybe half of what they had. Don't wait until you're in a mess to start trying to straighten out your life. Don't do it backwards. I keep trying to talk to Josh about, fitness and things. If you don't start out bad, you won't have to go through some of these things. The Lord, He doesn't tempt us, but He will try us. He will put trials in front of us. And that's things that we will have to work through. I think about this, and I use this as an example this morning, how amazing it was to me. What a spotter I have in Jesus, because I surrendered to preach in September, and in December, I lost my job. And I was facing the biggest battle I had ever faced in my life. And I had, a few months, what you call maybe a boot camp. I didn't know it was coming. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what you will face this week maybe. But are you prepared, or what steps are you taking to be prepared? Our physical life, our spiritual life. And I'm hurrying along. It's important for us to work through the hard days when nothing comes easy. Just like I said, keep moving. One of the worst things, we watched a TV show, I guess it was a couple of nights ago, and this fella, he wanted to be a sumo wrestler. He wanted to be big. That was his goal. and he maxed his body out so he could be big. And it wasn't muscle, it was fat. And that's what he wanted to do. Well, he done that, and he got big, hundreds of pounds. And finally, his career was over. And he wanted to get back down to a normal weight. He wanted to lose some of this weight. And see, the body, it's so hard for the body when you start losing and gaining. Losing and gaining. It's horrible on the body. Every doctor will tell you it's detrimental to your health. It's called, they call it yo-yo dieting. And I was thinking back to Matthew 12 and the man who had the unclean spirit. He was clean, swept, and garnished. He got rid of all that. And then all of a sudden, his end state was worse than the beginning. The spirit came back, I think, with seven others. It's the same difference here. It's the same thing. Don't let your life be a yo-yo, up and down. Think about how important your testimony is. I really can't get over how important this is because I see it in my own life. Because if you start out, and like we said before, people see you as a Christian, identify you that way, and if you start falling down, that's bad. You will be in the worst, it's worse, because people, they lose confidence in you, lose confidence in the Lord, in the church. And I'll end with this one comment here. Every failed diet or workout ended with the last visit to the gym. I was thinking back, and this is something, this is, again, just a little bit of a personal testimony. I was thinking back when I first started working at ASU. I guess I was right out of high school. I was 18, 19 years old. That's when me and my buddy started working out there. And I was just thinking the other day when I went back, or back in April when I went back to the gym, I was like, man, this is familiar. It's been a long time, but this is familiar. And I was thinking, that's been 14, 15 years ago. And there was that one day that I walked out and I didn't go back. And all I could think about, where could I have been if I had stayed? If I had stayed faithful and learned throughout the years, where could I have been? And, it's just one of those things that spiritually this morning this afternoon, I ask you the same thing. Think about that. You think back to the day that you got saved. And some people do. Remain faithful. Some people don't. But just think about where you could be for the Lord if you just remain faithful. Day in, day out. I think it was Preacher Eric say one time that faithfulness is measured over a lifetime. And he used the example or the analogy of being faithful to his wife. He said, if we lived our whole life together and I cheated on her one time, that wouldn't be being faithful. That was just something that really spoke to me, and I got a blessing from that. But that's what I have tonight. And Brother Wynn, I'm going to turn it back over to you to close out the service. But I appreciate being here, and it's really good to see you all tonight.